Chairman, I read this. I didn't know it was a hot potato. But I turned it loose a moment ago. Let me just say one sentence, having read it a moment ago. There has been a great deal of criticism on some of our boards because of the very thing we're talking about. The misconception that some of the heads of boards or agency have somewhat packed their particular board or stacked it because of their position or prestige or influence. And to adopt this recommendation will remove some of that criticism. And what they have in mind, what the administrators have in mind, is a simple thought that, after all, it ought to go back to the constituency and not come back to those who are the servants of a board or a denomination, as my friend James has just indicated. I shall support the motion for the recommendation for that basic reason.
Brother President, my name is Louis D. Newton of Georgia. I think the brother who has just spoken should identify the boards, agencies, or institution of which the charge, the intimated charge, relates to.
Further discussion.
Brother President?
Yes, Mr. President. I think Dr. Newton's question ought to be answered.
Brother President, I would like to ask that either the implication be withdrawn or the chapter and verse cited.
It is left with the brother who spoke and who is challenged as to whether or not he shall answer.
Tells me there has been some criticism from the point of view where he sits as our executive secretary. And I felt like we could take some of this off of Porter by this particular recommendation. Dr. Ruth tells me there has been some criticism along that line. Right?
Mr. Chairman, let me say that as far as this committee is concerned, it is in keeping with the recommendations which have been made that every effort should be made that the total operations of this convention, as far as policy is concerned, should be constituency-centered rather than staff-centered. And you're the ones who ought to elect and completely select those people who have to do with policy. And I'm talking about myself now. My responsibility is not to select the people who are to make the policy that I'm to live under. But my responsibility is to administer that policy when those of you, and they may not always be the people that I would select, but my experience through the years is that they've been a lot better people than I would select because they have come from those of you who know the people in the states.
Are you ready to vote?
Mr.
Brother President?
Brother President, I think that the convention has a right to say that we've been doing pretty well on the...
One microphone, please, and who is speaking?
My name is Louis Newton from DeKalb County in Georgia. And what I'm trying to say is that the convention has, for 115 years, followed a course which has satisfied the convention. Now, if an employed consultant from Pittsburgh or somewhere, I don't know where they're from, thinks that we have been making a mistake and that we ought to change our plan, then I think that very careful and detailed reason should be cited by whoever is originating this change and not leave us in the position here this morning of having to vote on something that has not been fully and frankly presented to us.
Brother President, members of the convention, I have the responsibility this year of serving as chairman of the Committee on Boards. There has been no undue pressure put upon me to name the ones who are coming on as new men from any of the executives of our various agencies and boards. I want that to be made clear because we do not wish any implication, nor should any inferences be made here this morning concerning the motives and the character of an individual. We need, at a time like this, ample trust in one another. When we cannot trust the executive of an agency or a board, then the trustees should deal with it, the ones who are elected. And I recognize the matters that are being discussed are vital and important. Therefore, Brother President, in order that we may have more time to consider this matter, think it through rather than deal with it as it is now, I move that action be deferred until next year.
Do I hear a second? The motion is made and second that this question of the adoption of Recommendation 18 shall be referred until next year for action. All who favor, well, let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
All who oppose, no.
No.
No's have it. I believe that the no's have it. There is called.
I understand.
There is called for division on this matter of deferring for 1 year. All who favor deferring for 1 year will stand. Will you be seated? All who in favor of not deferring will also stand. I was mistaken. And the debate will proceed. No,
it is deferred.
I beg to stand corrected.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 19 will be brought by.
This was. It was deferred.
No, it was deferred. The vote on it was deferred for 1 year. That was the action that was taken. Be John H. Haldeman.
We recommend that Bylaw 9 be amended to include the following sentences. Copies of the minutes of the Executive Committee shall be sent to the heads of all Southern Baptist Convention agencies, and copies of the minutes of all agencies shall be sent to the office of the Executive Committee. Brother President, I move the adoption of this recommendation.
Is there a second that recommendation number 19 shall be adopted?
Second.
Is there discussion? All who favor will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. And it is so carried.
The chairman of the Stewardship Promotion Committee of the Executive Committee is Mrs. Gordon Madry of Husky, North Carolina. And I'm happy to present her to present to you recommendation number 20.
Thank you, Dr. Ruth. Recommendation number 20 deals with the program of the new Stewardship Commission. It appears on page 36 of your book of reports. Now, unless you call for the reading of that recommendation in its entirety, unless you just want to hear me read, if you will follow that, I will call your attention to certain parts and will read excerpts from recommendation number 20, carried on page 36 of your book of reports, dealing with the program of the new Stewardship Commission. You will notice that this recommendation says that the Stewardship Commission has as its objectives to support the Southern Baptist Convention objective of bringing men to God through Jesus Christ, first, by leading in the development of church members as good stewards. Then second, assisting the Southern Baptist Convention and the general bodies in the raising of funds necessary for financing the convention's program. This should include the convention's primary mission plan, which is the cooperative program and endowment and capital giving. You will notice that a second objective is that the stewardship commission shall be a staff organization offering services to the state conventions and the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. It shall work directly with the churches on a demonstration basis only when requested by the state stewardship leadership. It being understood that the state conventions are primarily responsible for stewardship promotion within their areas. The commission will work closely with the executive committee in fixing the goals for the cooperative program in the manner required by the bylaws of the convention. You will notice that the work of the stewardship commission shall relate itself directly to the stewardship promotion conference and the interagency council. You will notice that the stewardship commission shall have three programs listed there in recommendation number 20. A program of stewardship development, urging individuals to come to a new appreciation of their privilege and responsibility of stewardship. Second, a program of cooperative program promotion, which first would seek the members to have a new conception of the importance and the necessity of a cooperative program. And secondly, in cooperation with the states and the executive committee, will seek at all times to raise and maintain a high level of giving on the part of the churches through the cooperative program. And then third is the program of endowment and capital giving. And you will notice that the purpose and the function of the stewardship commission is to coordinate the efforts of the state conventions and the Southern Baptist Convention agencies in the raising of money from individuals through wills, trusts, annuities, and that kind of thing. It should be understood that this is to be primarily a responsibility of coordination and general promotion, and does not provide that the commission or its staff shall be responsible for direct contact with individuals. And then you will notice, lastly, that the stewardship commission shall report to the convention on the basis of its programs. It is free to organize as it chooses, but it will make its annual report to the convention on a program basis. Mr. President, I move the adoption of recommendation number 20.
I second the motion.
The motion is made and second that recommendation number 20 shall be adopted. Is there discussion? You who favor will say aye. Opposed, no. And it is so carried.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 1 deals with the charter of incorporation for the Stewardship Commission. It includes the same language which was just read and which you have just approved, but it needs to be approved officially by you. I'm asking Mr. Alvin West, a fine member of the Executive Committee from Washington, D.C., an attorney, to bring the recommendation regarding this approval. And if you would agree that it, since it does contain the same language, that it would be approved without the complete reading of this charter.
Mr. Chairman, we recommend the approval of the Charter of the Stewardship Commission as set forth in full on pages 37 through 39 of the Book of Reports. As Dr. Ruth has pointed out, this charter is a legal document which is so lengthy that I shall not read the full text, but shall merely give a brief explanation of its purpose and comment on one or two provisions in it. This charter, when the names of the incorporators have been inserted at the beginning, and when those incorporators have duly signed and acknowledged it, and the charter has then been filed with the appropriate officials of the state of Tennessee, will establish the Stewardship Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention as a corporation duly organized and existing under the laws of the state of Tennessee. The corporate purposes are stated beginning on page 37 and ending on page 38. As Dr. Ruth has pointed out, they follow closely the language of the programs embodied in recommendation number 20, which you have already adopted. Following that, beginning at the middle of page 38 of your book of reports, is a statement of the corporate powers. These constitute the usual powers of any corporation: power to sue and be sued, to have and use a common seal, to receive property, to sell property, in appropriate circumstances and where there's no limitation of a trust, to make investments which are in the honest exercise of the judgment of the directors, safe and proper investments, to establish bylaws, to appoint subordinate officials and agents, designate the name of the officers and fix their compensation, to borrow money, and the like. With a, one final provision there, covering the contingency of possible voluntary dissolution. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of recommendation number 21.
Do I hear a second?
Second motion.
The motion is made and seconded that recommendation 21 shall be adopted. Is there discussion? If you favor adoption, will you say aye? If you oppose, no. And it is so carried.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 22 is found in the bulletin which you have today as substituted for the recommendation in your book of reports. You will notice that this does not commit the convention to anything. It's strictly complying with the business and financial plan by the agents. It's indicating what their reserve goals are for their operations. And for this, we're asking a layman from Baltimore, Maryland, Mr. Ralph Swanson, to come and bring it.
I will not read this complete list unless it is called for. You have it in your bulletin. I move, Mr. Chairman, that this recommendation 22 be adopted.
Do I hear a second? The motion is also second. Is there discussion? Dr. McCall.
Mr. President and brethren, the seminary presidents in discussion of this matter agreed in December of 1959 that approximately one-third of the annual operating budget of each seminary would be an appropriate goal. Our Board of Trustees at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, in March of this year, adopted the following for presentation to the convention, and I wrote to the staff member of the Executive Committee, Mr. John Williams, giving this to him. He indicated a willingness to present it to the convention, but somewhere in the communication, a part of the action of the trustees of Southern Seminary has dropped out. Therefore, with reference to Southern Seminary, I would move to amend that amount to read, Southern Seminary, $350,000, or one-third of the annual operating budget, whichever is larger. And I so move, Mr. Chairman.
That'd be acceptable. Chairman, I'm wondering, since that agreement has been made, if that might not be well to have that notation by the budget, by the goals of all of the seminaries as far as the record is concerned. That'd be perfectly satisfactory.
Dr. Ruth, there's no problem there, except I have no authorization to speak for the Board of Trustees of the other seminaries. And this is just a matter that we didn't catch in time to call it to your attention earlier.
Thank you.
Did I hear a second to this motion to amend?
Second.
The motion is made to amend. All who favor this amendment will let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, no. And it is carried, and now the motion is as amending. All who favor Recommendation number 2, as amended, will let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, no, and it is so carried.
Now, Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 23, A. Judson Burrell of Columbus, Georgia. And Dr. Burrell, I wonder if you might just read the section dealing with the to be amended down there, as you'll find it italicized.
At the bottom of page 39 in your book of reports, we recommend that section 12, paragraph 1 of the convention's business and financial plan be amended to read as follows. Audit reports. The agencies of the convention shall close their books and accounts and have them audited by a certified public accountant as of the close of business on December 31st of each year or July 31 in the case of the seminaries and the Carver School. The audit shall be made according to the form or forms recommended by the executive committee. Each agency of the convention shall forward a copy of its audit to the executive committee as soon as possible, certainly within 3 months after the close of the fiscal year, and each agency shall appoint a committee to study the reports of its auditor. Each annual audit shall include a statement from the certified public accountant certifying that he has handled and counted all securities held by the agency in the presence of the treasurer and one member of the board. If the securities are placed for handling with a trustee, a certified statement from such trustee shall be made to the accountant and be made a part of the annual audit report. The seminaries and the Carver School shall also submit to the executive committee a balance sheet as of December 31st to be used in reporting the aggregate assets and liabilities of the agencies of the Southern Baptist Convention. Well, the President, I move the adoption of the recommendation.
Second the motion.
The motion is made and second that recommendation number 23 be adopted. Is there discussion? If you favor, will you please say aye. Opposed, no, and it is so carried.
R.L. South, North Little Rock, Arkansas, recommendation number 24.
Mr. President, our recommendation number 24 is recorded on page 40 of your book of reports and reads thusly. We recommend that Midwestern Seminary be approved for an additional $300,000 for buildings out of the allocation for new seminaries from the 1962 capital needs budget. Mr. President, I move the adoption of recommendation 24.
Do I hear a second?
A second motion.
The motion is made that recommendation number 24 be adopted. Is there discussion?
Well, this money has already been set up as money for our new seminaries and the original capital needs program, so it would not involve any additional money for capital needs, the total capital needs.
Thank you, Doctor. Is there further discussion? You who favor will say aye. Opposed, no. And recommendation 24 is carried.
Mr. Chairman, recommendation number 25, one which is of concern and interest to all of you, because it has to do with the allocation of cooperative program funds to the various agencies of the convention by Dr. Herschel Hobbs, who is chairman of the Program Planning Committee of the Executive Committee.
Brother President and members of the convention, I'm not going to read all of this unless it is required or desired, but you'll find it on page 40, and you can follow there. I will point out certain items in the 1961 recommendation. You'll find listed the 1959 and 1960 budgets itemized. They're there more for comparison than any other thing. The operating budget for 1961, the recommended items are convention operating $200,000, foreign mission board $7,250,000. That's an increase of $960,000 over 1960. Home mission board $2 million. That's a quarter of a million increase over 1960. Relief and Annuity Board, $325,000. Carver School of Missions, $160,000. The seminaries are not itemized since they divide the amount of money allocated for theological education by a formula which they themselves, administrations of the seminaries, have worked out. So the amount allocated for theological education is $3 million, which is an increase over the amount that was allocated for 1960. The Southern Baptist Foundation, $38,500. Southern Baptist Hospital, $25,000. American Seminary Commission, $88,000. Brotherhood Commission, $179,500. I might add that that was largely brought about through the expanded program involving the Royal Ambassadors. The Christian Life Commission, $35,000. Education Commission, $60,000. Historical Commission, $42,500. Radio and Television Commission, $475,000. Public Affairs Committee, $60,000. Or a total of $13,938,500. The capital needs items are listed, but they have already been approved. But they're listed because they figure in the total budget goal. Then the advanced section, after the budget items have been met, the goal is set at $1,500,000, and that is to be divided 75% for foreign missions and 25% for home missions. Then the summary. Operating $13,938,500. Capital needs $4,575,000. And the total, as you see it there, is all above that, is the advance, and is to be divided 75-25. That amounts to $1,500,000. The grand total of the recommended budget for 1961 is $20,013,500. Brother President, I move that this section of the report be adopted.
Is there a second? Is there further discussion? You who favor will let it be known by saying aye. Opposed by no. And this is so carried.
Mr. Chairman, the time for the presentation of this section of the Administrative Committee report has come to a close. We have four more brief recommendations which you find in your convention bulletin. Mr. President, I move that there be a 10-minute extension of time. I believe that we can get through in that time.
Motion is made that time be extended 10 minutes. All who favor will say aye. Opposed, no, and it is so carried. Dr.
Recommendation number 26, Mr. Owen Cooper, another fine layman from Yazoo City, Mississippi. Mr. Cooper.
Recommendation number 26 is to be found on the printed bulletin that's available this morning. If you want to follow it as we read this, you may do so. The Executive Committee recommends that the Home Mission Board be authorized to establish a funded reserve to be placed in escrow with a bank or bank of its choosing, which reserve will be used to further secure church loans and or bonds in order to assist in the sale or placement thereof. The funded reserve shall be equal to a minimum of 10% of the total church loans secured thereby, but may be on such high percentage as the board may find desirable to create a market for its church loans and church bonds and to encourage other lending institutions to make loans to Southern Baptist churches. Second, that the convention authorize the Home Mission Board to use capital needs fund allocated to it for its church loan, its Church Extension Loan Fund for this purpose. Third, that the Home Mission Board be instructed to make it clear in all its approaches to financial institutions or to individual investors that the liability of the Home Mission Board and the Southern Baptist Convention is limited to the funded reserve to be established and maintained. Fourth, that the Southern Baptist Convention approve the Home Mission Board setting up an advisory committee of at least 5 outstanding businessmen experienced in the field of finance to advise with the administration and its church loan committee on matters relating to the administration of the board's church loan funds. It is understood that any plan proposed or followed will be in keeping with the Southern Baptist Convention's business and financial plan. Mr. Chairman, I move the adoption of resolution of recommendation number 26.
Second the motion.
The motion is made and seconded that recommendation number 6 shall be adopted. Is there discussion? You who favor its adoption will let it be known by saying aye. And you opposed, no. And it is so carried.
Now, Mr. Wayne DeHoney, recommendation number 27 from Jackson, Tennessee.
You find recommendation 27 on the front page of your convention bulletin. We recommend that section 2.1 of business and financial plan be amended to read as follows. The executive committee shall recommend to the convention an operating budget which shall include all the expenses of the convention and of its agencies and committees included in the convention operating budget. The executive committee shall also recommend to the convention the source of these funds. I move the adoption of this recommendation number 27.
Second the motion.
The motion is made and seconded that recommendation 27 be adopted.
Mr. Chairman, this is really a technical recommendation made to clear up the point, which might arise sometime in the future, that by this bylaw, which was adopted year before last, I believe, that the executive committee is not, or the convention is not seeking to pass on the details of the budget of the Sunday School Board, which of course does not receive cooperative program funds, and therefore is not listed in the convention operating budget.
All who favor the adoption of recommendation 27, you'll let it be known by saying aye. Opposed, no. And it is so carried.
Now, Mr. President, Mr. A. Leroy Parker from Greensboro, North Carolina, number 28.
Recommendation number 28. We recommend that Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary be authorized to change its charter to provide for 30 members on its board with 10 local members to be named within a radius of 300 miles of Kansas City. Brother President, I move the adoption of recommendation number 28.
Second the motion.
The motion is made and seconded that recommendation 28 shall be adopted. Is there discussion? You who favor will say aye. Opposed, no. And it is so carried.
And now for the final recommendation. And this is really finally, brethren, Brother R. Archie Ellis of the First Baptist Church of Columbia, South Carolina.
Brother President and members, messengers of the convention, brace yourself for a cataclysmic controversy. Since on July 1st, 1959, the Golden Gate Seminary moved from Alameda County to marvelous Marin County in California, we recommend that the Golden Gate Seminary be authorized to amend its charter to provide that Marin County, rather than Alameda County, be the principal place of business for the seminary. Mr. President, I move the adoption of the recommendation.
And I would like to second that along with others. That really is a wonderful change.
Any further discussion? All who favor will say aye. Opposed, no, and it is so carried.
Now, Mr. President, before we move the adoption of the administrative section as a whole, with the exception of the one recommendation upon which the vote has been deferred until next year, I should like this to take this opportunity to express on behalf of the Executive Committee our appreciation for your long suffering. I think it's a wonderful thing, actually, when this convention turns down a recommendation or asks that further study be given to a recommendation of the Executive Committee. Because whatever we do is done by human beings, and it ought to be measured by your thinking, by your prayers, and by your consensus. There are one or two other members of the Executive Committee who are here but who did not present recommendations. I saw Brother Mercer Irwin out here a moment ago. Would you stand up? Oh, how we missed you. Who is a member from Bogalusa, Louisiana. Are there any other members of the Executive Committee who are here but who have not been presented? I'd like to know them because they're pastors and laymen from your own state. And now, Mr. Chairman, as Brother Tripp said a moment ago, I guess the batting average has been pretty fair this morning, and for that we are very grateful. I should like to move the adoption of the administrative section as a whole, with the exception of the one recommendation upon which the vote was deferred until next year.
And the motion is seconded. All who favor, is there discussion? All who favor the adoption of this motion will let it be known by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no, and it is so carried. Dr. Ruth said something about suffering with us. Perhaps a little bit of that suffering could be relieved if we were allowed to stand for a moment. Will you be quiet as you hear an announcement?
Brother President, there are two very important announcements. First, the Committee on Committees will meet this afternoon at 3:30 in the Flamingo Room. The personnel of the committee, E.C. Brown is chairman, and you will see the other personnel on page 2 of your convention bulletin. Committee on Committees, 3:30 this afternoon. The chairman of the Committee on Order of Business has a correction.
This correction, please. The printed bulletin concerning our program tonight, there has been a mistake made and about half of the evening program was omitted. However, I assure you that we do have a full program as printed in the program that you've received at the door and in the book of reports. Dr. Grant, Dr. J. Ralph Grant, will bring the sermon at the night service, and there will be a full program as usual.
You may be seated. That was a little bit of physical refreshment. And now we shall enjoy some spiritual refreshment as the Glee Club of Oklahoma Baptist University shall come and sing for us. They are under the direction of their wonderful leader, Dr. Warren Angel.
Fujima to the very top was thrust. And you heard them still, high on Heartbreak Hill. Bingo!
Great hymns now entitled, Wherever He Leads, I'll Go.
this morning with the hymn, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
And I wish that Dr. Pollard and the lady who perhaps wrote the address that he's soon to deliver, or at least approved it, would come here that we might greet them. While they're coming, the secretary, as instructed, will cast the unanimous vote of this convention for Dr. Pollard.
Brother President, it gives me pleasure, and it is a real privilege to cast the unanimous vote of this convention for Dr. Ramsey Pollard for president.
Thank you. Now, Dr. Pollard, Mrs. Pollard. It is stated that this gentleman and brother presided with dignity. I'll be very glad to give you another demonstration as soon as he wills it. We are happy, so happy in this unanimous election.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Now, in the Constitution, it is definitely stated that the election of a vice president must be totally completed before we can enter into the election of the second vice president. I think, therefore, that we shall now enter into the election of the first vice president, asking that our committee on program shall find for us another place later in the day or later in the sessions for the election of the second vice president. Nominations are in order for first vice president.
Mr. President, microphone number one. Number one.
Number one. Who's speaking?
Over here, to the other side.
All right, who is speaking?
This is Ray McCollum from California. Just prior to this convention, we have had a wonderful pastor's conference. I have never heard so many expressions of appreciation for the program that we have had. The man who has been responsible for that program has served this convention and the denomination in many ways, and I believe that he would serve very acceptably as our first vice president. I should like to nominate Dr. W.O. Vaught of Arkansas.
Dr. Vaught is nominated. Are there other nominations?
A year ago, I stood in the line in Kentucky to make a nomination, but my good friend and fellow Kentuckian, Dr. Pettigrew, was nominated, and I refrained. I fulfill that personal desire now. I wish to nominate Dr. Dotson M. Nelson. Dr. Nelson grew up on the campus of a Baptist college by virtue of the fact that his father was president of Mississippi College. He was a fellow in his seminary days and has had the experience of teaching in those days. He's a former pastor of churches in Mississippi, Kentucky, Virginia, Missouri. He served his country as a naval chaplain, as chaplain of a submarine tender crew. He has served with distinction wherever he has been. He has for more than 10 years been pastor of the Great First Baptist Church of Greenville, South Carolina. He has twice recently spoken to our convention and the WMU convention, selected because of the record his church has made in its gifts to missions under his leadership. I believe the convention personnel will be glad I've nominated Dotson M. Nelson.
Thank you. Are there other nominations? Do I hear a motion that nominations close, be closed? And it is second. All who favor will say aye. All who oppose will say no. I shall ask that the secretaries shall pass the ballots and also announce the tellers.
Brother President, may I ask you and the convention, fold it. Do not fold your paper. Write either Vaught, V-A-U-G-H-T, or Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N. And pass your ballots immediately to the end of your aisle, and they will be collected by the ushers. The ushers are ready to come immediately to bring your ballots. And the tellers will be on the platform. J.C. Mitchell of Virginia is chairman. Fred Noe of Texas. James Sawyer of Florida. John France of Missouri. Jack Lowndes of Georgia. George Caldwell of Alabama. L.C. Lowe of Illinois. Nane Starnes of North Carolina. The ushers will be coming down the aisles immediately to receive your ballots and will bring them to the platform.
Reception. Note the time and be present.